All right. As you can see, we're in the midst of a study, we believe, and are sure, and we're just sort of getting started with this. And we have emphasized the fact that the Bible is the foundation of our faith, of our confidence, and we continue to believe that, to teach that, and preach that. Of course, we have to let everyone know that is the foundation of our faith as we spread the gospel of Christ. It is not tradition. It is not the various philosophies of this world. It's not the majority or anything like that. It's the Word of God. That's what we base everything that we believe and are sure about upon. And so we have to make sure that we understand that. Well, last week we moved then into the first study, and that is with regard to God. And we're emphasizing especially the existence of God. The Hebrew writer said, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Now, we understand he talks about those who come to Him must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And I just said in passing that the last part there is very important and significant, that we should believe with all of our hearts that He is a rewarder. And all the various aspects of God and His nature, His mercy and His love, that we certainly ought to appreciate, have faith and confidence in, and ought to be a real part of our life and shape us and form us as far as what kind of Christians we are and what kind of lives that we live. All of those things about the nature of God is very important, and that's a real part of having faith in God. But again, we're emphasizing the fact that He exists. And I made the point last week that there's a lot of folks that deal with the idea of science and that sort of thing and proving the existence of God in the Bible from that standpoint. I may mention just in passing some websites that you can go to for those who are far more qualified than I am to deal with the issue of evidences from the standpoint of astrology and dealing with rock formation and all of that sort of stuff and space and planets and all of that. Just there's a lot of brethren who are well educated in that, and you could check out those sites and it'd be good for you too. Those are faith building sites. When you go and look, they have all kinds of things from dealing with dinosaurs to just the flood and all of that. Just the Bible and the authenticity of it, and just all kind of topics on evidences. That now the first one up there. The Apologetic Press is the one that I would recommend first. And I've been on that site many times, and it's all good. And I haven't seen it. It's so vast that I certainly haven't read all of the articles on there or even close to or anything like that. But every time I visit the site, I don't see anything that I object to very much, and just good stuff. They all are educated with their PhDs and all that in the various fields that they deal with. And I may not be able to read a lot of the articles there and then explain it all to you, but it gives me faith as I look at that. And then some of these things, the Churches of Christ, USA.com, I wouldn't recommend everything on that site, but if you go to that site and go particularly to the area that's for apologetics, have some good information. And the point of it is, if you really want to get deep into that sort of thing, those are good sites that you can learn from and check out, spend some time at those sites. It is faith building. Answers in Genesis is the Ken Ham site that has some good stuff on them. But we're approaching this more from a practical standpoint. For one, it's all that I can do. And number two, it's probably the best way. So far as everyday living for the everyday person who might have to deal with these things, when we approach it from a practical standpoint, it's faith building for us, can help us have confidence in the fact that God is real. And again, remember, these are things we should already have confidence in. But these are things that just sort of validate our faith in God, that He is real. And some things that we can, in a very simple way, explain to other people. And so we look at them from a practical standpoint. And last week we just looked at the fact that the universe exists and something can't come from nothing, and therefore something has always existed. And good brethren have preached on these things all through the years, just from this simple approach. It may not answer all of the questions if you got yourself in a situation, you're talking with a scientist, whatever. But this is just practical and logic, really. Very logical that even at least it used to be that even atheists and most scientists would agree with this, that something can't come from nothing, therefore something has always existed. Now, scientists don't so much believe that. Maybe a lot of them still do. Any other conclusion is not very bright, to tell you the truth, no matter how many PhDs someone has. But as you'll see, there are some people now who are moving away, scientists and atheists who are moving away from that, who they actually believe now that there was perhaps a time when nothing existed at all. And so that they would conclude that something came from nothing. And that just doesn't even make scientific sense. That you want to talk about a blind faith. They would have you to believe that as a Christian, you operate on blind faith. Anybody ever tells you that something came from nothing, then that's as blind as it gets, isn't it? And so that's not practical. And again, over the years, most have agreed, at least here, it may be that where our agreements end, but they at least understand that something has always existed. And so the question is, what is it? And there's only two options, mind or matter. And the Bible position is that mind has always existed. And you don't have to wrap your mind around it. You don't have to understand. You get to thinking about some of these kind of things. And if you try to make sense of it in your finite mind, it'll drive you crazy. No matter which way you go. Whether you conclude that it's mind or matter, this whole concept of something being eternal, something that has always been, something that has had no beginning, no start whatsoever, we can't relate to that. But something is eternal. And we know that because something is, and something can't come from nothing. And the thing that makes most sense, what we believe as Christians and Bible believers, is that it is mind, it is intelligence, it is God that is eternal. And that's the Bible position. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. And that's what the Bible teaches in many different places, in many different ways about God. He is eternal from everlasting to everlasting, without beginning, without end. He has always been. And now, is that a matter of faith, believing that? Absolutely. There's no question about that. It's part of the definition of faith, isn't it? Believing, having confidence in things not seen. But again, no matter what your position is, it's going to ultimately be based on faith. And this is the Bible position, that intelligence has always been. You have the atheistic position, the evolution position. They believe that matter is the thing that has always existed. Or at least now, again, they're changing all that a little bit, but at least it predated mind. Matter came first. And some of the most intelligent people in the world are atheists and take that position. And evolutionary concepts are, of course, becoming more and more prevalent to the point where they're very condescending to any creationists who believe, anybody who believes that creation is the thing that happened, that someone created. That's just silly, they think. That's it. In this day and age, nobody should believe that. Nobody should deny evolution with all of the information and technology that we have. They think you're just silly to conclude that someone created the heavens and the earth. And so their position is that it is matter that predated mind. And of course, the Big Bang Theory and all of that, I'll put up there in a minute, but you just stop and think about the logic of that. Again, I'm not asking you to understand either one exactly with our finite mind. Something is eternal, and you just begin to weigh which one makes most sense. The idea that an intelligent being created all the things that you can see in the universe, that at least is logical. And it's a matter of faith.
But the other way around, saying it's matter, that means all intelligence came from matter.
That means that something dead created something living. And it's not logical. That'd be like saying the watch that I'm wearing created the watchmaker. Who would conclude such a thing? And not even atheists would even say that's even possible. And yet with something far more complex than a watch, the universe and everything in it, they want us to believe that the dead produce the living. And it just doesn't make sense. Here is their idea on the Big Bang and at least one fellow's perspective of it. About 15 billion years ago, a tremendous explosion known as the Big Bang explosion started the expansion, of the universe. This explosion is known as the Big Bang. At the point of this event, all of the matter and energy of space was contained at one point. What existed prior to this event is completely unknown and is a matter of pure speculation. This occurrence was not a conventional explosion, but rather an event filling all space with all of the particles of the embryonic universe. The Big Bang Theory is an effort to explain what happened at the very beginning of our universe. Discoveries in astronomy and physics have shown beyond reasonable doubt that our universe did in fact have a beginning. Well, we of course know that, don't we? It did have a beginning. Prior to that moment, there was nothing. Now you're getting, what do you mean there was nothing? So this is just everything began at the Big Bang when this explosion took place. The paragraph before, they said before that, anything you say about what happened before that Big Bang, that explosion, it's all speculation. But then eventually gets around to saying it was nothing. There was nothing before that. During and after that moment, there was something. Our universe. The Big Bang Theory is an effort to explain what happened during and after that moment. And so that's evolution. That's what most of our children's school teachers are teaching them. And professors in our best universities are teaching the students. The Big Bang, the idea that everything is here because of that explosion at that moment. That's what happened. Before that, speculation. Before that, perhaps nothing. But that's where it all began. And now, everything else, you look around and you see the universe and everything in it, including us as human beings, all of it came from that. Now, is that a matter of faith? Yes, there's no question about that. And it's blind faith. If anything is blind faith, it would be that, rather than concluding that an intelligent being created everything. Yes, Deb. Yes.
If there was nothing, how could the explosion take place?
Yes.
When you stop thinking about it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And again, I don't know how popular this what he says here, that prior to that moment there was nothing. It's my understanding that most scientists wouldn't speculate. They would be more what he said, kind of contradicting himself, what he said earlier, that it's all pure speculation. But the idea of something, I mean, how can nothing explode? And so something came about. At some point. And yes.
When you were reading that, I was thinking it would be kind of like if somebody built a brand new home and they closed one bedroom door and there's nothing in it, absolutely nothing. And the mother closes the door and says to their teenager, "Now when you have grandchildren, you will open up this door and it's going to be painted and full of furniture and it'll be a room you can use."
And who would believe that? Nobody. And that's a simple illustration with something as simple as a little room. But they want us to believe something along those lines. And again, listen, I'm not qualified to get into all of the scientific stuff of it. If you ask some of these, you know, the science guy or whatever, he may have an answer that won't make a whole lot of sense, but to him it will. You know, they have an answer for everything. It's no different than when you're dealing with a denominational teacher or preacher or something. Most people have an answer. The question is that we have to weigh, does it make sense?
And which one of these positions makes sense? That it just all came about, the universe, from an explosion, whether it was from nothing at first or something came along and caught whatever it is, or that an intelligent being has always been and will always be, and he set things in motion so far as this universe is concerned. I'm fully comfortable with concluding that it was mind that's eternal and not matter, and that everything else came from an intelligent being. But those are your two options. There's not a whole lot of choices with regard to this. That's it, basically. It's either mind or matter. Then the universe shows signs of design and purpose. And that, nobody disagrees with that. I mean, it's just clear. You can't live in this world without understanding that that's the case. You look at the world around us, and there's design. The universe, there's design to it. So that we know, for example, when there's going to be an eclipse, scientists can look at that and tell us it's coming and exactly nail it down. Why? Because there's design to the universe. And so nobody doubts that. But the question is then, if there is design, then is there a designer? Or is it all just chance? And again, you have two options, blind chance or divine planning. And your options aren't plentiful. There's just two. As we look at our universe that we live in, something happened. It's either everything is here by just blind chance, or it was planned by someone who obviously would have had to been divine. And we know that to be God. And so those are your positions. And we can be really cute, and people can laugh at us and say, again, we have blind faith. And in this day and age, we shouldn't be talking about this kind of thing. It's a foregone conclusion that everything happened by evolution and by the Big Bang and all of that. We shouldn't even discuss it. But to me, it's the height of ignorance to say that everything around us is here by blind chance. And just looking quickly at, again, the Bible position, Colossians 1 at verse 16 and 17, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I like that translation. That's the power of our Lord, Jesus Christ. All things held together by Christ. And so God is in control. God is the reason why the planets stay in the heavens, and meteorites aren't destroying the earth and everything else in its path all the time. Why this earth can sustain life. It's not just by accident. It's not just blind chance. It is God through his Son Jesus Christ who is holding all things together. And so that's the Bible position. And of course, then the other position is blind chance. And again, it's just not logical that everything happened by accident. And someone, I don't know if I gave maybe in a different sermon or something, but there was a popular illustration that was given years ago. And it was Ronald Reagan who said it, but he was talking about, you know, he's a Bible believer, of course, and he was talking about this sort of thing. He said, "I wish I could sit down with an atheist and fix an atheist a meal, and I'd have him prepare a meal for this atheist, and I'd get the best chef possible, have him fix everything just right. It would be a wonderful taste, seasoned just right, everything arranged, even on the plate would be decorated just right, everything perfect." And then when the atheist ate the meal and commended the chef and asked, "Well, who did this?" And I'd tell him, "Nobody did it. You see, I was in the kitchen and there was an explosion and things just started flying all over the place. And there was smoke and fire and all of this. And when all the fire died out and the smoke went away, this is what was left." Now, what atheist would say? "Oh, I get it. That could have happened." No, that's an impossibility. And yet again, a plate of food isn't very complex compared to the universe. And they want us to believe that that's how the universe, and again, everything in it, all animal life, human life, all plant life, everything in it, just blind chance. It just happened. Based on that explosion all those billions of years ago, a few evolutionary processes take place, and bam, here we are. I'm far more comfortable with the Bible position. That God is eternal, and that through and by His Son all things are held together. That there is design, there is a planner, and that planner is God. And that's why we have what we have. There was a book, and again, seemed like I did look at this with you some time ago in another study, but this is a book that came out years and years ago, probably 30 years ago or so. But this fella was a scientist, maybe still living, I don't know, but he, a scientist who believes in creation and believes in God. And with regard to blind chance, he put this together, very old, perhaps some of the numbers might be outdated, I'm not sure. But he says the earth rotates on its axis 1,000 miles an hour. If it turned at 100 miles an hour, our days and nights would be 10 times as long as now, and the hot sun would burn up our vegetation each long day, while in the long day, any surviving sprout would freeze. So now you stop and think, just from a logical standpoint, you stop and think, the earth is rotating. And the fact of the matter is, it's rotating just right so that this planet can sustain life. That's just an accident? Just blind chance? Just happens to be? Or is there someone in control? He says the sun has a surface temperature of 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit, and our earth is just far enough away so that this eternal fire warms us just enough and not too much. If the sun gave off only half of its present radiation, we would freeze. And if it gave off half as much more, we would roast. Blind chance or divine planning? The slant of the earth, tilted at an angle of 23 degrees, gives us our seasons. If it had not been so tilted, vapors from the ocean would move north and south, piling up continents of ice. If our moon was only 50,000 miles away instead of its actual distance, our tides would be so enormous that twice a day all continents would be submerged, even the mountains would soon erode away. If the crust of the earth had been only 10 feet thicker, there would be no oxygen, without which animal life must die. Had the oceans been a few feet deeper, carbon dioxide and oxygen would have been absorbed and no vegetation life could exist. And finally, if our atmosphere had been much thinner, some of the meteors now burned in space by millions every day would be striking all parts of the earth, setting fires everywhere. Now you think about that. You think all of these things, and the point of it is, again, everything is just right for this planet to sustain life. And all your evolutionary friends and all of these scientists that dominate the airwaves and that think that we just have blind faith or unintelligent even for raising the question of creation, they want to believe that all of this is blind chance. The rotation of the earth, the slant of the earth, the thickness of everything, just blind, it just happened to be from that explosion so that now we could have life here on earth. And again, is this a deep scientific kind of study that can answer everything about astronomy? No, but just from a practical standpoint, it seems to me that we ought to be able to convince the average person, at least, that everything that is here in this universe is here, not because of some explosion 15 million or billion years ago, but because of an intelligent God who created the heavens and the earth. And again, those are the choices that we have. The existence of man, we have made mention of that in passing, but we know just because of who we are as human beings. We may not be experts with the body, but we all have a body and we all know how complex the body is. And you think about the words of David, I praise you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. And so you look at the body. The more experts examine the human body, the more complex they realize that it is. how complex the brain is and various parts and portions of the body. It's amazing to me that anybody would look at the human body and conclude, that's blind chance. That came about accidentally. Just in some evolution. And that to me is just absurd to conclude that. And through the years we've often, we could look at the brain. That would be a good example and various parts. But the eye serves as a good example. When you just start and think about the eye. Number one, the eye is self-focusing and is designed to perceive objects in different distances from a few inches to several miles instantaneously. The most complex telescopes in the world can't do what the eye can do. You know, you look down and you look up and immediately you can focus on things. It's just the eye is wonderfully made, isn't it? And just different things about the eye. The eye can perceive objects in different directions, turning with the greatest of speed, right to left, up and down, without the head moving at all. And again, great telescopes don't have that capability, not like the eye. Would you ever look at a telescope? If you ever came across a telescope, and you think if someone had never seen a telescope before and they just came across a telescope and walked around it and observed it and looked they would understand that this certainly is functional and that someone designed it or came about somehow. You think they would conclude it just there was an explosion and here's this telescope? Or that maybe someone made that telescope? And then you start thinking about the eye, far more complex than the most complex telescope. The eye has a self-cleaning mechanism, which the greatest telescopes in the world do not possess. The eye is provided in duplicate in each person, so so adjusted that they can work together or separately. As complex as the eye is, we have two of them. And we all have two of them. And unless an individual, of course, sometimes people are born and deformed or whatever the case, but just generally speaking, the far majority of the time when an individual is born, he's born with how many eyes? Two. And they function the same. And isn't it amazing that that's true with all of us? Wouldn't you think if all of this was blind chance that have you come across somebody with three eyes? Why not? Or, you know, that sort of thing. It's just the average normal individual is born with two eyes and two arms and a heart and so on and so forth. A brain that is probably far more complex than the eye. And it's just ridiculous to me. It's absurd to think that's blind chance. The eye itself proves that there is a God, that there is a designer to the human body. Well, then we look at 1 Peter 1 at verse 17. We believe that there is a God. And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourself with fear throughout the time of your exile. The point of it is, I hope all of us this morning would accept there is a God. And the evidence of that is His handiwork itself. In fact, there is no excuse. You remember in Romans chapter 1 is a good way to conclude all this. In Romans chapter 1, Paul is dealing, of course, with the Gentiles. And the Gentiles now, by Paul's day, they were denying God. And specifically the existence of God. Let me tell you, it's easier so far from just doing what you want and fulfilling the lust of the flesh to go through life believing that there is no God. Free and easy, live the way you want to live, make your own rules, do whatever you want to do. Well, you can do that if you deny that there's a God. And that was the Gentiles. They thought that they were so wise by denying that there was a God. And then, of course, man worshiped something. And so the Gentiles were able then to dismiss the true and living God and come up with their own gods. And when you create your own gods, what else are you going to create? What are you going to attribute to those gods that you created? What kind of laws? If you create your own God, are you going to attribute to that God a law that's going to be hard for you to keep and set boundaries for you? And is that what you're going to do? You're not going to do that. You're going to attribute to that God laws that you want to live by. And that's exactly what the Gentiles were doing. They had a God that whose religion was fornication, sensuality. Well, that's convenient, isn't it? A part of their religion was to commit fornication. And of course, that's the kind of thing that you do. And then you get to live any way you want to live. And you think, I'm so wise. Listen to what Paul in all of this says down at verse 18. He says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, has been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world." Now, can you see God? No. That's why we believe in Him by faith. Can you see an attribute? No. They're invisible. But you can see the results of the attributes of God. And the results of God's attributes, the handiwork of God, is the things that He made. And every person, no matter where you live, when you go outside, you look at the sun and the moon, you look at the demonstration of God's divine power, there is no excuse for saying, "Oh, but this all came about by an explosion 15 billion years ago." There is no excuse. And that's what he's emphasizing. But ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for the image resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And so God gave them up to the lust of their own hearts. And so man started creating gods. And even that went downward. Created man, then animals, and then down and down, find creeping things to worship and to view as gods. And Paul says, they're without excuse. And so is every individual today who says there is no God. The evidence is there. His handiwork are the things that He has created. And we need to attribute that to Him and give Him all praise and all honor for the things that He has made. So, we believe in God. Now, again, this isn't something, as Christians, there should be no doubt about this. And we need to instill this into our children, especially as they go through school and they're challenged because most of their teachers and professors don't believe this. They believe the evolution. They believe the blind chance theory. And it's tough for them. It's tough for our young people. They get in trouble sometimes for standing up. They get F's on their reports and that sort of thing. Ridiculed by the other students for that. It is tough. But it's what we have to instill in their hearts and in their minds. Because it's one of the things we have to believe and be sure about. There is no room waffling on this, going back and forth. We have to be sure about it. Are there any Christians, we just have a couple of minutes, are there any, even preachers who kind of are iffy on this? Yes. What do they call it? Does anybody know? What is it? Theistic evolution. That even sounds smart, doesn't it? Theistic evolution. I want to believe in God. And at the same time, I want to be able to mix and mingle with the scientists of our day and appear smart to them. And so when you do that, you begin denying certain simple Bible facts. Like the creation of the world in 6 days. That's not scientific. And you have to come up with another theory about the flood and all of that. Because if I don't, I won't fit in with the scientists of our day. But I want to hold on to the Bible. I do believe that there's a God. I have a good solution. Maybe God created the universe through and by the Big Bang. Maybe He caused the explosion. Well, if that's the way God wanted to do it, he could have done it that way. The problem is, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says he spoke the world into existence. And the account in Genesis that we have, we must believe and accept. The Bible is a literal book meant to be taken literally. Days means days in that context. And so there are some Christians, though, who begin to waver even when it comes down to this kind of thing. And we can't. We should believe and be sure that God is real and he did exactly what the Bible said he did. In the beginning, there was God, and that he created the heavens and the earth. It's a foundation for everything else that we believe in the Bible. It's foundational. Our faith in God. And we shouldn't, again, waver just because our society is going in a different direction. All right. Well, next week, then, we believe in Jesus. And it reminds us, of course, of John chapter 14, where Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And so we need to believe in Jesus. But what do we need to believe about Jesus? We're going to look at that in detail. I'll give you just a heads up now. We'll go back and look at it. We certainly have to believe that Jesus was a real person here on earth. He is a real person. But he was a historic man who actually walked upon the face of the earth, lived at a real time, a historical place, all of that. We believe that he was a real person. But we believe more than that. There's a lot of people who don't believe in Jesus who believe that. We have to believe, number two, that he is the Christ. That he's the anointed one, the long-awaited Messiah. And even on top of that he's the Son of God. And that's important because that carries a consequence as well. To believe that Jesus is God's Son is to believe that he is divine, that he is deity. And there's more of a few in the religious world and even within this brotherhood of ours who deny the deity of Christ. When you say you believe in Jesus, it has to encompass all of that. Well, I know I believe he's a historical person. Well, do you believe that he is God? If not, you don't believe in Jesus. Is he the Christ or isn't he the Christ? Well, he was a good man, maybe a prophet. No. Do you believe that he is Christ? You have to believe that if you want to be saved. You have to believe in Jesus. So we'll look at that in detail, all the details of those different things next week. Appreciate your attention.